He restoreth my soul. To understand this phrase, there's really two primary interpretations that you'll read if you read scholars concerning what this means. One of the interpretations will say that the word restore has to do with the uplifting of the head. In other words, when a sheep gets in despair or despondency, the shepherd is there to uplift his head or to, if you will, just bring him back to a place of understanding the sufficiency of the shepherd. Now, the problem with that is it doesn't line up with what the word means in the original Hebrew. As a matter of fact, the word in the original Hebrew, the word restore, is translated 391 times as return, translated 123 times as turn, translated 60 times as back, can be translated this way. To return or to turn back from. And so really the word restore has its roots in the word repentance. So when you find this word restore, what you're dealing with here is David is dealing with the spiritual aspect of his soul. And you say, what do you mean the spiritual aspect of his soul? Well, would you agree that all of us, from time to time, get out of kilter with the Lord? Would you agree that all of us from time to time will get wayward in our journey? And would you agree that all of us from time to time will be cast down? Now you say, what does the word cast down mean? Well, that's what this is dealing with. From a physical standpoint of actual shepherd and sheep, what it's dealing with is what shepherds call when a sheep is cast down. And what that means is this. Sheep have this uncanny ability to get themselves in some unusual situations. And one of those situations is when a sheep will venture off from the flock, and when a sheep ventures off, he'll lay down on his side to rest. And he lays down on his side to rest, and then because of his weight or because of the heaviness of his wool, all of a sudden the sheep begins to roll. And as the sheep begins to roll, he finds himself on his back. And when he finds himself on his back, the sheep right then and there is in absolute trouble. You say, why is that? Well, the sheep has no ability to get out of that position. And so the sheep will become unrestless. He'll begin to kick, and he'll begin to thrash, and he'll begin to try everything he can to get back to his side so he can get back on his feet. But the problem is, the way the sheep's body is made, they have no ability to do that. And most historians will say, and most scholars of sheep will say, that given the climate, if it's hot in temperature, that a sheep can die within 20 minutes of getting himself on his back. And what happens is gases begin to fill his body, and all of a sudden those gases begin to come up, and literally the sheep will suffocate to death because he cannot live on his back. And it's what shepherds call being cast down. Now, let me ask you a question. What happens when you and I, in a spiritual way, get cast down? Because that's what David is saying here. David is saying that the Lord restoreth his soul. In other words, the Lord restores him from being cast down. What happens? Well, we get out of kilter with the Lord. We get out of fellowship with the Lord. And what do we try to do? Well, we try to do what most people try to do, and we try to, in a man-centered way, in a fleshly way, we try to find our way back into fellowship by doing this or doing that or trying this or trying that or seven steps to restoration, whatever you want to call it. But yet, in reality, the only one that can restore that sheep is the shepherd. Shepherd can't do it. The sheep can't do it himself. And if he stays in that position, he's going to die. And there's no hope for this sheep unless the shepherd finds him and restores him. It's what it means to be cast down. Now, when David makes this confession, he restoreth my soul. He's making a twofold confession. One part of the confession is what you would call a confidence or a faith trust in the Lord. He restoreth my soul. Aren't you glad today for that assurance? Amen. That he's able to restore us when we get cast down. But he's also making a shameful confession. Because if the Lord needed to restore him, what does David also say? He's cast down. And so what David is saying is, I know in confidence he restores me as his sheep when I get cast down. And David's saying, hey, I've been cast down. I get cast down. And every time the Lord comes through for me. And you and I need to understand there's a confidence in this, but there's also a confession in this. Now, what I want us to do tonight is I want to look at some correspondence in relation to sheep and shepherd of what causes a sheep to be cast down. And then we're going to look at the cost of being cast down and then the cure of being cast down. I want you to look first at the cause of being cast down. Well, for a sheep, it's when a sheep goes off by himself. And when a sheep goes off by himself, eventually he gets tired, he lays down, and then what I talked about begins to take place. A lot of times what will happen is a sheep will lay down in a depression of the ground, and sometimes the depression of the ground alone will cause the sheep to roll over on his back. And so a sheep can very easily get in this situation. Now, if the sheep stays with the flock and if the sheep stays with the shepherd, can I tell you, he never gets in this place. But when a sheep veers off, he doesn't have that shepherd there that immediately when he lays on his side, the shepherd can come and help the sheep to not get on his back. But yet when the sheep wanders from time to time, he'll very easily get on his back. And unless the shepherd finds him, the sheep will die. And this is what happens with us in our spiritual journey. And I'm going to give you three things real quick that identify this. Now, let me give you a passage, Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 25. He says, we lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God, and we and our fathers, and from our youth even unto this day, have we obeyed not the voice of the Lord our God. And that's what happens with sheep. When they begin to wander off and doesn't follow the shepherd, then all of a sudden they get out of earshot of his voice and they get out of eyeshot of his sight. And now all of a sudden the sheep finds themselves on their own. And on their own, they can get in trouble very, very quickly. So let me give you three things here that causes a sheep to be cast down and causes us to be cast down. The first thing is we have the wrong focus. When a sheep begins to lose focus of the shepherd, wouldn't you agree today you can't follow a shepherd if you're not focused on the shepherd? In other words, sheep, and you've heard me say this already, are very easily distracted. And all of a sudden that sheep gets distracted and he loses focus on that shepherd and he begins to get focused on what he sees over here to the side or what he sees off in the horizon. And all of a sudden the sheep begins to veer off and begins to go and discover what he sees. He loses focus. Let me tell you something. It doesn't take much at all for us to lose focus on our shepherds. A lot of times, can I tell you, just the busyness of your life can cast your eyes off of your shepherd. First time I went to Israel, there was a lady that worked for Johnny Hunt at First Baptist Church Woodstock. I'll never forget, she was over a ministry that Johnny had down there for fallen pastors. And she was the one that kindly administratively scheduled their flights and their hotels. And Johnny would bring these pastors in that had fallen. And he'd put them up for 3 or 4 days and try to minister to them and try to counsel with them and try to encourage them and help them. And she was the one that kindly logistically put all that together. And I'll never forget when we were sitting in Bethlehem in a restaurant. She was sitting across from me and my wife, and I asked her, I said, Is there a common thread with all these pastors that you deal with that have fallen? And she said, yes. How'd you know? I said, I just suspect. And she said, well, I think you know what it is. I said, well, I've got a good guess. She said, well, what do you think it is? I said, they don't have intimate, personal time with the Lord on a daily basis. She said, 99%, that's their story. Can I tell you, it's hard to get off your knees and walk right into sin. You and I need to understand that our focus on our shepherd is paramount to keep us from being cast down, to keep us from wandering, to keep us from getting in situations in our spiritual life through which we are going to lose fellowship with God. Now, there's another aspect that causes sheep to do this. Not only do they have the wrong focus, but they have the wrong following. Now you say, what do you mean by that? Well, here's something about sheep as well. They are dependent creatures, and sometimes they get dependent on the wrong creature. In other words, there's times where there may be three or four sheep that break off from the flock and begin to wander. And all of a sudden, one of the other sheep began to see the three or four other rebellious sheep begin to wander away. And here's what happens. That sheep begins to follow those sheep instead of following the shepherd. You know what I've seen time and time again? People follow the wrong people. People follow the wrong doctrine. People follow their own voices. And time again, here's what I find that takes place. Someone that you greatly respect or somebody that you have great admiration for, and all of a sudden they begin to veer off course, and all of a sudden you begin to see them veer off course, and it's very easy for you to get off course because it's very easy for them to have your ear, and all of a sudden you'll begin to give your ear to things that are not true or your ear to things that are not right, and all of a sudden you'll find yourself wandering with them off course. Sometimes it's parents, sometimes it's grandparents, sometimes it's as teenagers, Howie, you know this, sometimes it's peer pressure from other kids. And all of a sudden you begin to veer off course. Why? Because you're following the wrong people. You're following the wrong voice. One of the reasons that I'm such a stickler on studying correctly the Bible is because if you don't know how to study correctly, it's very easy to get blown away with every little wind of doctrine that comes along. And you can get off course by following the wrong voice. A lot of times, sometimes what people say make a lot of sense until you break it down in the original language or until you break it down in the historical context, and then all of a sudden that's not what it's saying at all. And it's very easy for us to get off course if we're not very careful. Here's what happens to a sheep that caused them to be cast down. They're careless. They're careless. They lose focus. They begin to follow the wrong group of sheep or the wrong voice. And all of a sudden now, they find themselves in great difficulty and great trouble. Let me ask you a question today. Our prayer lives. Sometimes we can lose focus and we can follow a pattern of prayer life and lose focus in our prayer life, in which our prayer life just becomes a ritualistic event. And you say, what do you mean? Well, you just, every night before you go to bed, you say the same prayer over and over again. Have you prayed? Yes. But have you ever asked yourself this question, when I prayed, did I have audience with the Father? You see, sometimes we will get lose focus, and when we lose focus and we begin to follow a path that's not the path of the Father, then all of a sudden we become religious, but yet we really are not having intimacy with the shepherd. Why? We've lost focus with the shepherd, and we're following the wrong thing. And this can cause you very quickly to be cast down, because I want you to listen to me. Your Christianity is based fully upon your fellowship and relationship with the Lord. Without that vibrant, intimate relationship with the Lord, I want to tell you, the Christian life, I mean, it's just impossible. Your intimacy with the Lord is paramount to your Christian life. And I found this to be true in my life. When I'm having the greatest intimacy or the greatest fellowship with the Lord, I find myself more sensitive, more discerning, more understanding. I find myself more merciful, more gracious, slower to anger, slower to be critical. I find myself to be a lot more walking in the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit than when I'm not walking in deep intimacy with God. Because I want to tell you, sometimes you don't walk in intimacy with God, somebody can just make fun of your eyebrow and you get mad at them. Because what happens? You revert back to that self-centered nature. And you become cast down. And so this is what happens with sheep. Let me give you a third thing real quick, just in going. And this is a big one. We have the wrong feelings. How many times do we base our Christian journey off of our feelings? Well, I don't feel God will hear me if I pray, so I'm just not going to pray. Well, I don't feel like having my study today. Well, I don't feel like God's pleased with me. Well, I just don't feel like that I'm worthy. Well, can I tell you, I'm going to let you off the hook. Y'all with me? Say amen. Amen. There's nothing you can do to please Him. There's nothing you can do to make you worthy. But see, feelings are not facts. See, the fact is that your worthiness and your pleasing is not based upon you and what you do. It's based upon Him and what He's done. Amen. And what happens with a sheep is the sheep begins to have feelings of separation or have feelings that they're not part of the flock, or have feelings that there's something greater on the other side, or there's something more profitable for them over the horizon or off course. And all of a sudden, feelings begin to take in, and a sheep begins to veer, and a sheep begins to wonder. And the next thing you know, a sheep gets tired. He lays down, and now, separate from the flock, separate from the shepherd, now he falls himself on his back, and he's in trouble. And so these are the causes that calls us to be cast out. Here's the great feeling that a lot of us get. Well, that's not the way I want to do it. I feel like we ought to do it this way. Well, I want to tell you, there's churches every day closing its doors because that's the way people feel. Amen. I want to tell you something, folks. It don't matter what I feel like. It matters what God says.
Amen.
Y'all with me? I mean, we're just to get in the flow of what God says. And whatever God says, it don't matter if I feel it or I don't feel it. Hey, listen, if God said it, that settles it.
Amen.
And so these are the things that causes us to be cast down. Now, let me talk to you just a minute at the cost of being cast down. The first thing that it costs is forsaken communion. Here's what happens when that sheep wanders off and lays on his side. He's broke himself off from communion with the shepherd that loved him, cared for him, provides for him in every facet of his life. He's broken off from communion. Can I tell you, every time you step out of the path in which the shepherd has for you, you're stepping out of communion with him. You're stepping out of fellowship with him. And I'm glad today that we can't lose our relationship, but we can sure lose our fellowship just like that. And this is the cost of being cast down. We are forsaken in our communion. We forsake our communion, and all of a sudden, now what begins to happen is as we don't commune with God as we are, then all of a sudden our discernment and our sensitivity to the voice of God and our sensitivity to the governing and leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit becomes dull, becomes hardened. And if it continues on, the Bible says you can develop a hardened heart. And so we got to be careful because it's costly to be cast down. Secondly is fleshly corruption. What happens with a sheep when they are cast down and they're cast aside or they wander off? All of a sudden now they become open prey to any wild animal or any wild adversary that is out there. They become open prey to everything because why? Their protector, their shepherd, is not there to protect them anymore. And they become open prey. For us in a spiritual realm, here's what happens. All of a sudden, those fleshly corruptions, fleshly way of thinking, fleshly way of feeling, fleshly way of responding and reacting begins to set in. And all of a sudden, what begins to happen is we become what the Bible calls double-minded. And the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. What do you mean double-minded? Well, we're Christian, but we're walking fleshly. Double-minded. We're surrendered, but yet we're giving ourselves to self. Double-minded. And so what happens is a sheep is part of the flock. And they have a shepherd, but yet they ventured off. And when they venture off, all of a sudden they open themselves up to everything. And folks, I want to tell you something. It doesn't take much at all for those old worldly corruptions to creep back into your life. Doesn't take much at all. I remember one time Ron Lynch called me. He was in a church, and the church, they had sung a song. And Ron called me after the service. He was livid. He said, "I can't believe they sung that song." I said, "Well, Ron, what was it?" And he said, "The song was, I'll never go back, I'll never go back, I'll never go back." And Ron said, "Listen, you take one step in the flesh, you'll go back in a New York second. Now, you can't stay there. God will get you back." But I want to tell you something. It doesn't take much at all for you and I to allow these fleshly corruptions and way of thinking to begin to filter into our lives. And we become open prey to our flesh. We become open prey to the enemy. We become open prey to the worldly way of thinking. And all of a sudden what begins to happen is these fleshly corruptions begin to sink into our hearts and our minds. And all of a sudden we begin to allow them to alter our course. And we begin to walk further and further and further out of the path of the shepherd. And we don't even realize we're doing it. Can I tell you something? Satan is smart and cunning. And here's the way Satan works. Satan will put things in front of us to get us off course. Things that are just what we would look at as minor things. But listen, there are no minor things with God. Amen. And he'll put these things in front of us and we'll start veering just a little bit. And then as we veer, he'll put something else before us and we'll go a little further. And then after that, we'll go a little further and then a little further and a little further and a little further and a little further. And then as we get so far off course, then we find ourselves and we say, "How in the world did I get in this place I am?" And we don't even realize we left sometimes. Because it's such a gradual progression of these fleshly corruptions creeping into our lives. I used to have a set of videos. I don't know. This was done 15, 20 years ago. And what it did is it went through and it took, you know, secular music and how secular music's evolved over the years. And I'll never forget, the videos began with the scene. Y'all remember when Elvis was on the Ed Sullivan Show and he shook it? Now, you Elvis people, don't get mad at me. Y'all say amen. You remember when Elvis was on the Ed Sullivan Show and he shook his hips? You remember what happened? Radio stations went up in arms. They broke his records over the air. They said, "We'll never play his records again." It was so offensive what he'd done on the Ed Sullivan Show. And then in the next moment, it flashed up to Britney Spears having a 10-year-old boy up on stage, and she's provocatively dancing, sending a sensual song around him, and the crowds are going nuts. And the whole aspect of the video is, look where we started and look where we came to. Slow progression. Little by little. And we begin to be corrupted little by little by little by little. And then what happens is we're all the way over here. And we go so far along that we can't even see where we started. Tell you, that's what's happened in churches today. Churches have gave themselves to the world so much that they've got so far into the world that now they can call anything Christianity, and it'll be hilariously okay. I mean, we just need to understand that this is the cost of being cast down. Let me give you a third thing, a false consideration. What do you mean by this? All of a sudden now, we have veered off course. We're cast down. We're on our backs. We can't get up. And all of a sudden now, we begin to have considerations or presumptions about our sin. And all of a sudden now, we don't see it as sin anymore. All of a sudden now, we find excuses for it in our life. All of a sudden now, we find reasons for it in our life. And all of a sudden, we begin to think differently. And now all of a sudden, instead of offending a holy and righteous God, now all of a sudden we say, hey, God understands. His grace is sufficient. And all of a sudden we excuse away our actions and we begin to follow family, or we begin to follow this crowd or this crowd or this crowd, and we excuse it away of saying, I'm just being a good family man, or I'm just being this, or I'm just being that. And the whole time God's saying, no, you're forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. No, you are stepping out of my pathway. No, you're stepping out of my will. You're stepping out of fellowship with me. And God is there to, by a conviction of His Holy Spirit, and He's trying to woo and draw and woo and draw us back to Himself. And we begin to see sin, not in the light of its offenses, but we begin to see sin in light of what it's going to cost me if I get caught. Let me ask you a question. If I see sin in the light of if I get caught, what it's going to cost me, how many of you agree? You're willing to step out in the risk every now and then. But if I see sin in the light, if it offends my holy and righteous and merciful and gracious God, how many agree that'll stem a lot of what happens? We have false considerations. See, the sheep don't consider the consequences when they veer off. They think they're doing something good for themselves. And they never consider the consequences of what it brings. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, listen to what it says. No man can serve two masters. For he either will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold on to the one and despise the other. Cannot serve God and mammon. And folks, here's the thing. The one thing that I try and try and try and try to get us to understand, the reason I'm so passionate about our single satisfaction being in the Word and in His life is because when it's there, everything else becomes different to me. Abnormal to me. Boy, wouldn't it be good when the only thing normal to me is this, and everything else becomes abnormal? Wouldn't it be good that this brings the greatest comfort to my life and everything else makes me uncomfortable? Amen? You see, we get false consideration. Faulty consideration. All right, let me show you. Let me show you. That's all the bad news. Y'all ready for some good news? Y'all say amen. Amen. What's the cure for being cast down? Well, this is what David's dealing with. He restoreth my soul. Let me give you the cure for being cast down. Number one, the person in that cure. Notice what David said. I restore my own soul. Is that what he said? He restoreth my soul. You see, when you're cast down, if you look up, you find out you have one that can restore you back to fellowship. Boy, wouldn't it be miserable to know that if I got out of fellowship, I could never get back into fellowship? But aren't you glad to know that when I get out of fellowship, I have a merciful, gracious, and loving Father that will do whatever it takes to get me back in fellowship? You know what a shepherd does when a sheep veers off or wanders off? When the shepherd finds the sheep is gone, He leaves the 99 and he goes and looks for the one. He searches for the sheep. Let me tell you something about being a child of God. Let me tell you something about the Lord being your shepherd. Is he'll never, ever leave you alone. There's not one moment in your life where God will leave you alone. You get out of fellowship, he'll find you. He'll show you. You see, these are the two things that a shepherd does in being the person and the cure. He searches for the sheep and then he teaches the sheep. Now you say, what do you mean he teaches the sheep? Well, probably a better word would be that he corrects the sheep. You know, it's amazing to me that, you know, I shared with you last Sunday night what a shepherd will do if a sheep will continue to veer off. He'll take his rod and he'll break his back leg and he'll carry the sheep until the sheep learns dependence again. And what happens is if a shepherd goes and finds that sheep and finds him on his back, it's a life and death situation. The shepherd will run as quick as he can to that sheep, and here's what he'll do. He'll first roll him over to his side. When he rolls him over to his side, his joints, the sheep's been laying on his back for any length of time, the sheep's joints become stiffened because they've been thrashing and thrashing and thrashing and thrashing and thrashing, trying to get back on their legs. And their joints will become so stiff that even if the shepherd lifted that sheep up and put him back on his legs, he wouldn't be able to stand. So here's what the shepherd does. He takes a flask of oil and he rubs the joints of the sheep's legs. The oil is a picture of what in the Bible? Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God comes and begins to minister to your heart when you get cast down. And then finally, after a period of time, he'll stand that sheep up on his legs. But the sheep's still wobbly, so here's what the shepherd will do. He'll straddle the sheep, almost like he's riding the sheep, and he'll hold that sheep up until he gets his strength back in his legs. And then if he needs to, he'll carry the sheep. But then he corrects the sheep. Teaches the sheep. Teaches the sheep what? Look at the cost of forsaking me, your shepherd. But always with loving care and kindness and mercy and grace. You see, we look at the chastening of God as something negative. Oh, that preacher, he's preaching on the chastening of God again. What if I told you the Bible says that the chastening of God is a joyous occasion for the believer? Amen. You say, why would that be? Because what kind of love would it be if God let us wonder and never corrected us so we wouldn't wonder again? Let me read you a verse. Maybe it'll help you. Listen to this verse, Job chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Behold, happy is the man whom God chasteneth. Boy, you say, well, you're not going to find that in my promise book. Well, boy, what a great word. Listen to what Job says. Behold, happy is the man when God correcteth. Therefore, despise not the chastening of the Almighty, for he maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth his hands and make him whole. Amen. What's the purpose of chastening? Here's what it is. getting you restored back to your feet, getting your joints working, getting your strength back, getting your fellowship, your communion back, getting you back to the place where you can follow the shepherd and know that the shepherd cares for you, and you can be dependent in the shepherd, and you don't need to be dependent anywhere else, and you don't need to focus anywhere else, and you don't need to get despondent about anything else, because your shepherd is all you need. He teaches. Every day, God's wanting to teach us. Every day, He's wanting to teach us. Well, let's go on. So that's the person in the cure. What's the pathway to the cure? Well, it's fourfold. There's four things involved in this restoration of David's soul. The first thing is revelation. Would you agree that a sheep will continue to wander off and find himself cast down again and again unless it is made clear to him that that's not to his advantage and it's not to his good? One of the great things about our God, folks, is listen. He's always revealing to us when we step out of fellowship with Him. The day, which will never happen. But if there's ever a day God doesn't reveal to you when you step out into sin, you better get very, very concerned. Because there's no child of God that God does not continue to reveal Himself and reveal themselves to themselves. Every day He's showing us ourselves. Every day of our life. He's revealing. And He makes the sheep understand the consequences of veering off from the shepherd. Secondly is remembrance. When that shepherd takes that sheep, mends his joints, carries him, stands up on him while he is trying to get the strength back to his legs, what happens in that sheep's mind? Now remember, the sheep's on his back. The gases are starting to build up. He's starting to suffocate. He's thrashed till he can't thrash anymore. And then just before his death, the shepherd comes up and rescues his sheep. What does it remind the sheep of? His shepherd is always there for him. And his shepherd will never leave him nor what? Forsake him. You see, when we get cast down, God has to reveal Himself to us. He has to reveal us to ourselves. And then what happens is God brings us to a place of remembering when we fail. You say, where do you find that in Scripture? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's found in Revelation chapter 2 with the church of Ephesus. It's an amazing thing about the church of Ephesus if you study it. God starts off with the church of Ephesus and if you'll let me, for time's sake, just throw this out to you. God just gives them applause. He brags on them. I mean, He says you don't have anything to do with the Nicolaitans. I mean, He starts talking about their faithfulness. He starts talking about this and that and the other. Don't allow false doctrine. I mean, He goes on and on with all these things that are true of the church of Ephesus. But then He stops and He says, but. Now, how many agree when there's a but, something's about to change?
Amen.
He says, but there's one thing. He said, you left your first love. You say, preacher, I don't understand. If they took stands on truth, if they were faithful to all the things that took place, and God says, this is all that you've done. And yet God says, but you left your first love. I don't understand. Here's what happened. The church of Ephesus became a religious performing church, doing the right things but not having intimacy with God. And all of a sudden, they were more affectionate about what they were doing than the Lord that they were doing it with.
Amen.
And He says, you left your first love. What did the Lord say the help for them was? Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you because thou hast left your first love. This is what he says. Remember, therefore, from which thou art fallen. Repent. Do the first works, or else I will come quickly and remove the candlestick out of the place, except thou repent. What did I say that the word restore meant? Repent. Turn. Return. And so this is the pathway that has to take place. So you see revelation, then you see remembrance, then you see repentance. So now I see when I've fallen. Now I understand through revelation when I got off course, when I got cast down, what caused me to get cast down. And then all of a sudden, because I see it, and now I saw when I've fallen, I remember when I stepped out of line with the flock and out of line with the shepherd. All of a sudden now, I see myself, I turn, and I turn back to him, and I find that he is the restoring, loving, caring shepherd that always has the Spirit of God, always has the Word of God, and is always rubbing the joints of my spiritual life, and is always bringing strength back to my spiritual life. And I found out that, guess what? He loved me just as much now as he did before I veered off. I repent. So you have revelation, remembrance, repentance, and then lastly, restoration. Now, I'm back in step with the shepherd. He's leading me again. He's providing for me again. He's caring for me again. I'm enjoying his presence. I'm enjoying his care. And I'm walking in his provision. Malachi chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Listen to what it says. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. In that day will I make up my jewels, and I will spare them. Now you remember, this is Israel that just literally turned their back on God. As a man spareth his own son that serveth him, then shall you return and discern between righteous and wicked, between him that served God and him that serveth him not. So what's the restoration God brings? Discernment. You become sensitive again to the path of the shepherd versus the path of my flesh. Amen. And you begin to discern between righteousness and wickedness, between serving him and not serving him. Why? Because the shepherd searched for you. The shepherd cared for you. The shepherd revealed himself to you. And the shepherd restored you to intimate fellowship again. One more verse in closing. Psalm 119, verse 67. Boy, I'll tell you, this is a good word. Listen to this word. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, have I kept thy word? What took place? The psalmist realized the Lord was all he needed. When I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, I keep thy word. Isn't God good? So I want to ask you a question. Are you laying on your spiritual side? Or maybe you're here tonight and you're laying on your spiritual back. And you're thrashing, kicking, restless in your soul. I got some good news for you today. The Lord knows right where you are. And the Holy Spirit is His ministering tool to bring you back to a place of walking in fellowship with the Shepherd. But you got to let Him. And you got to learn. And then you got to live in light of who He is. Father, we all step out of line. We all step out in the flesh. We all find ourselves cast down from time to time. But Father, I want to thank You today that there's not one place we could ever be that You don't know exactly where we are. And every time You show up just in time. And You're there to show us what we need to see. You're there to remind us of where we fail. You're there to enable us to turn to You in repentance. And You're there to restore us to intimate fellowship with You, our Shepherd, who has loved us and cared for us so mightily. Father, teach us the futility of trying to go our own way. Teach us there is only one way, the way of our Shepherd. And when we walk in the way of You, we'll never find ourselves cast down. For You're enough for every moment and every second of our life.